8.07, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad y'all are here. By the way, people asking about those tickets. Yeah, so the tickets for the 16th annual Mystic Stripers Fishing Rodeo, we'll hook you up with some more of those today during the midday show, but better yet, you can go ahead and make your purchase online. Just look for Mystic Stripers Fishing Rodeo on Facebook. Just Google their name for their website. You can pre-purchase the tickets there through the website. And the $25 donation for the ticket, the charity here, St. Jude's. Great charity.
That's awesome.
Yeah, doing great stuff. And nice thing is about having a Mardi Gras Society throw a fishing rodeo, you know the party is going to be strong. We knew they'd be good at having a party with the Stripers. It's just, who'd have thunk it 16 years ago? They also had a great fishing tournament. So both things happening at Dolphin Island Marina on Saturday. And of course, it's Father's Day weekend. Of course, I joke, it's really Father's Hour on Sunday, but we're trying to, you know, it's Mother's Day weekend and it's Father's Day or Father's afternoon.
Maybe even a minute for
Father's
some fathers.
Minute or something like that. But listen, Dad, we can ride herd on the family this weekend. So, yeah, of course I'm going fishing. It's Father's Day weekend. You can take the family with you. Kids categories as well in that tournament. So, great one. Hope to see you down there this weekend. All right, let's check in with our buddy Jeff Poore with Lanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News, and a man who has spent a lot of time looking at the state through a windshield here during the primaries, and you'll be doing some more of that, I'm sure, between now and mid-July. Hey, Jeff. Oh, there we go. Press the right button, Sullivan. There you go. Hey, Jeff.
Thanks for having me on. We've done this a few times now, right?
That's for sure. I'm just still getting used to it. I'm new to this radio thing. Okay, a couple things before we get back into Alabama politics, but it actually has a lot to do with it. You talked about the election last night of incumbent Mark Sanford getting beaten in South Carolina 1. You said SC1 is similar to AL1. Like there's an analog here. What about that?
Yeah, so South Carolina's first congressional district is a lot like Alabama's in that they both are very centered on the city, the big city, which in AL1 it's Mobile, obviously, and in South Carolina 1 it's Charleston. So you don't have really a bunch of different media markets. You have kind of more similarities of the electorate. You have a lot of things that kind of make them more homogeneous. So I would say that, you know, when we start talking about comparing these apples to apples, I think what will inevitably happen, if it hasn't already, that people start saying, well, look at what happened at South Carolina 1 last night. Is that what's going to happen to Martha Roby in Alabama's second congressional district? But you can't really do that because, I think the more appropriate comparison would be more like Bradley Byrne and the way he would have to, like, design a campaign to win the Alabama's first congressional district. It's a much different sort of creature than Alabama 2.
Well, talk to us about these Mark Sanford versus Katie Arrington. I mean, what kind of Republicans are we talking about?
So just to catch people up, Mark Sanford ran, he's kind of made himself into a never-Trumper in the House of Representatives. He's been outspoken when he's, criticized Trump. He's almost, if you think of the House version of like a Jeff Flake or a Bob Corker, right?
Okay.
That made him very vulnerable to someone running, as we've seen many people in Alabama try to do, running as the pro-Trump guy against, and the other person's the anti-Trump guy. And, you know, it hasn't really worked in Alabama, at least, you know, maybe in very, very small settings, but on a big scale, like in a congressional election, it hasn't really worked yet. So the person, this Katie Harrington who ran against him, she really ran as the Trump person that we've seen with the, you know, in Alabama in the last two, three months, with all the Make America Great Again stuff, and the other guys, her opponent wasn't sufficiently on board with that. And that, you know, given that campaign message and the, you know, Mark Sanford sort of anti-Trump, you know, way he sort of branded himself, I think a lot of people were kind of saying that's what cost him the election last night, which was an upset. No one really saw that coming.
Okay, so this would, you're saying this might be a narrative going forward. Like we've heard in the past, somebody would say, well, they're going to get primary. They're going to have somebody in the primary run to their right in the past. Now it's going to be having somebody run to their Trump. I mean, that's going to be the way they get beaten in primaries?
I only think it's specific places. The electorate really has to, like, really buy into that notion. I don't think every Republican electorate is that way. I think, first of all, some places are going to value the seniority. They're going to take this into account and say, well, our guy may not be, you know, the biggest pro-Trump person, but at least he's got the right seats on the right committees. He's doing the right things to bring home the military spending or the NASA spending or whatever it might be, right?
Yep.
I think that's certainly one component of it. And I also think just the varying degrees of Republican now is maybe it's not say that this person's more Trump, because now that Trump is the Republican Party, maybe it's sort of saying this person's more Republican, and that's the way you do it, because, you know, the way the Republican Party's changed, certainly a little more populist than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Okay, and so while you said that, you know, you pick up this narrative that they make an argument that it's Bobby Bright versus Roby, but you're saying this may be more of a the harbinger for AL1. So how would you see that if you saw somebody? Because, you know, you can't exactly paint in the recent history, Bradley Byrne as being a vocal never Trumper or anti-Trump. He's been, been on the shows like this show talking about President Trump positively. And you're going back to the Billy Bush thing. When will that be yesterday's news, or will that be something that would be used in a primary challenge?
I'm really surprised it wasn't in this cycle. To be telling you the truth, I'm surprised someone like Dean Young or somebody didn't look at it and say, you know, I mean, I pulled up the press release from Billy Bush Weekend last night when I was working on a piece for Yellowhammer, just to, you know, recall from my memory. But I'm a little surprised no one's done that with Bradley Byrne. But I think the biggest difference, and this is probably where Martha Roby hasn't really set herself apart from that, is Congressman Byrne's really been sort of speaking very nicely, very positively, very pro-Trump in his, you know, his appearances. He hasn't, you know, disparaged him. And that's what Mark Sanford went wrong. He's really been trying to be the, you know, cater to that never Trump wing. Where Roby hasn't done much is she hasn't really said much either way, one way or another. She has said pro-Trump things, but it hasn't been as a cheerleader. It's been kind of as a gesture that she's going along with the Republican Party, and she hasn't been waving that flag around like Bradley Byrne has, per se. So what I think her problem was, she really hasn't distinguished herself as a pro-Trump person. She's avoided everything altogether. I would point to how much do we hear about Martha Roby during the Roy Moore saga? She managed to avoid that altogether. She didn't get in the middle of that, and who would have thought, you know, the lone female Republican congresswoman is not being asked about these allegations and Roy Moore. She somehow managed to avoid all of that altogether and not put herself out there as being pro-Trump or anti-Trump or anything. She just kind of has dodged all those questions.
I want to kind of look at this as, okay, academically, we look at a possible challenge down the road here. And you mentioned something earlier of the more seasoned or the person that's in place, whether it's AL1 or AL2, who brings home the bacon for the district. Will there be that, you know, it's almost pragmatic versus idealistic decisions when people go to vote, throwing the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. But if I look at what happened last Tuesday, it didn't seem to be major shakeups going on in the way people came out and voted, right? They kind of went back to a voting things as they were, at least in the Republican primaries.
Yeah, well, I think a product of that is when you say things the way they were, who are the candidates that are really able to build up a war chest? And you don't just build up these war chests by accident. You bring home the bacon and you get certain constituencies, mm-hmm. you know, particularly the BCA or something, the big boys in Alabama politics to back you. It makes you a lot harder to beat. And I think a lot of people look at that. That's how Senator Shelby's able to be a senator as long as he is. I just think that's probably the most extreme example, but I think that's kind of like the way Alabama politics is right now.
Talking with Jeff Poore from Breitbart, Lanyap, and Yellowhammer News.
Now, I know we're talking about Republican primaries here, Jeff, but what are these wins with the anti-Trump candidates kind of falling to the wayside? What does that mean for the blue wave that everyone's talking about? Once it's time for the general elections, should we expect anti-Trump candidates to not make out as well as maybe they expect?
Yeah, so let's look back at 2006 when everybody was anti-Bush. The Democrats that ran in Alabama and won, they were able to run against Bush. I don't think there's that opportunity for a Democrat, especially in the South, but maybe even nationwide right now, just by the way things are kind of going against them. They really banked heavy on the Democrats did on the Russia stuff. Everything else seems to be going okay for Trump. We haven't had any, there hasn't been a Hurricane Katrina kind of moment or something that Bush had to face. Now, here we are in June. I mean, we still got a lot of things that could happen between now and November. But throwing the Russia stuff at him and saying, that he's just not fit to be president, when the economy's doing well and stuff, I think it makes it a lot harder to run against Trump, and that makes the blue wave a little more difficult for Democrats.
And it's interesting to see the idea that, okay, in the general, there'll be all these people that weren't heard from in the primary, wouldn't be in the runoff. That does prove true over time, right? Just in not specific parties, but more people turn out for a general.
Oh, absolutely. So, and a different kind of voter turns out for the general as well. So, I would say this, I would caution your listeners on this. When we want to talk about last week's primary in Alabama and just how many people turned out for Republicans versus Democrats, well, there wasn't a whole lot going on the Democratic end of the ballot. All those races had been decided. So you have a couple of things going on, a lot of Democrats staying home, and a lot of Democrats going out to pull a lever for a Republican because that's where all the action was decided, and then go and vote for a Democrat in the general election. So, when we talk about primary turnouts and where that's going, I'd be really cautious about reading too much into that.
All right. And then I got to get your expert commentary on my non-expert map that I posted up on Twitter this morning. Moving off of the story out of California, this Cal 3 proposal that is now at least got enough signatures that it's going to be on the November ballot to split California three ways. And I guess we'll start off with that real quickly, because the way I see it is this is obviously California's push. They want to get more representation in the Senate, but keep the politics the same. So is that right? Is that why you think this Cal 3 is happening?
Well, roughly the same. I would say the Southern California part might go Republican more, but they do pick up two Senate seats. So if you had to do six new seats for Democrat to Republican, and that might be the way to go. I think just a lot of people, it's becoming more tribal and hard for them to probably don't think they're getting the representation they deserve with just, two U.S. senators with Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein.
All right. So if Alabama made a similar move, I've proposed at least three splits, maybe five or six splits for the state of Alabama into new states. Do you like where I gerrymandered it? Would you move any lines?
Yeah, well, I kind of wonder if the panhandle of Florida might like to kind of go in on Mobile something.
I think they would. I haven't drawn anything outside our state lines. Yeah, if I could incorporate the Gulf state, that would include, Mobile and Baldwin counties, and then the Florida panhandle, it'd be huge. But just within the confines of the 67 counties of Alabama.
Yeah, and there's certainly some tribalism. You could split it up. North Alabama, I think, kind of. North and South Alabama have always, in the history of Alabama politics, have always felt as if they're getting the short shrift.
Yep.
They can't get a candidate to win statewide. So maybe that's where you're heading in the right direction with your map there.
All right, y'all check that out on Twitter. Better yet, check out what Jeff Poore is writing by going where on Twitter?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Jeff Poore, hopefully we have good news, too, by the time we talk next week, that he is the outright winner, or whenever they announce nappies. It won't be next week, but maybe we can get some inside information or something.
That'd be great.
So we know sooner than later. All right. 821 FM Talk 106.5. See some comments here on that map. Let's chop up Alabama into some different states. How would you do it? Let me know. We get back. 343-0106. Hey, thank you, Kane. 825 FM Talk 106.5. You want to start paying less interest on your credit card debt? Well, that's the silliest question I've asked you a long time. Of course you do. How about you do it today with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream? Lightstream rewards customers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. You'll get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.49% APR with AutoPay. You can save thousands of bucks in interest, and the application 100% online. Even get your funds as soon as today. You think about the average credit card rate around 17%, and interest rates are rising as we're seeing some signs of inflation out there. How about locking down 5.49% APR? And y'all will get the additional interest rate discount on top of those already low rates when you go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name, LIGHTSTREAM.com/Sullivan, lightstream.com/SULLIVAN. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount, available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for important information about limits on Lightstream loans and same day funding. All right, we'll grab some calls and text now at 343-0106. And we're redrawing. Redrawing the state of Alabama, actually cutting it up into other states. This hinging off of the story that we mentioned in the past, but it's now gotten enough signatures required in California to be on the November ballot. Now, in all honesty, there are so many other hills to climb for this, for it to actually become law. It's not like if they just vote on it in November, it's going to happen. It's going to get challenged at state level, federal level. Listen, the federal government's not going to let there be more senators. It's not going to happen.
Even if it will never happen, I'd be interested to see how California will vote for this,
yes.
Whether the people actually really want this.
Well, even if they do, which I think they probably, I think it may win or just narrowly lose, but they're not going to bring new states into the union. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I don't think that's going to happen. So, but it is a fun exercise to run through here. And John and Mobile first up to talk about it. Hey, John.
Hey guys, the only problem with what's going on in California, the biggest problem to me is what's going on in California, is all the people that are leaving are bringing in liberal thinking and voting with them. But back when I was in high school 100 years ago, there was a guy on the radio in Pensacola, and he kept calling Pensacola the capital of the 51st state, which is Gulf of Fornia. He made his case because, just think about this, you go to Panama City, you go up 231 to Highway 84 in Dothan. Take 84 all the way across to the Mississippi-Louisiana line, and that's the 51st state.
Yeah, it was called, okay, you said it was called Gulf of Fornia. When I learned about it in history class in high school, they called it, the Gulf State or something like that is the name they had given it. I know we talked about it back then, about this carve-out of the Panhandle, Southwest Alabama and the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And we also had a teacher who said, no state legislature will let that happen. Not Mississippi, Alabama, not Florida.
Right, but if you think about it, below 84 in Mississippi, the rest of the state could care less about it until they got casino gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Below 84 in Alabama, nobody in Montgomery gave a rip until we got they found the oil and gas in the bay. And then the only time that the people in Florida care about Panama City West is during an election.
No, I agree with you, but they won't.
The topography and everything is the same, and it just makes sense.
Yeah, but you know it's not going to.
I wouldn't put you.
Yeah, would you put money down on it, on them? Number one, us getting it through state legislatures. Number two, the Congress, federal Congress, admitting a new state into the union. I don't think that happens.
No, but when you tell people across different parts of the country that you live in the 51st state, you get all kind of reactions.
That's true. That's true, John. I appreciate that. And the way we, in my drawing, and that drawing is up on our Facebook page and on my Twitter feed. Yes, that is my freehand attempt to carve out. Yes.
Well done. Well done.
I think even though somebody said you drew through Dolphin Island, I'm including Dolphin Island, and that might even be my capital of SoAl, the state of SoAl, because on the California side, they're naming the three states proposed as Northern California, California, Southern California. Okay, so
not very creative.
NoCal, Cal, and SoCal. So I'm doing kind of the same thing for Alabama. But if you see the breakdown here, I've got those of us down here in Southwest Alabama. We're in SoAl. Montgomery is called Lobby Al. Tuscaloosa County, Big Al. North Alabama, NoAl. And the rest of the state, Al.
love it.
Go check out the map, do your own drawing, and give us a call. Drop a text, 343-0106. We'll be right back. We get cranked up in earnest today with the Summer Better Than Others giveaway. Carrot Patch today. I think they opened the doors at 10 this morning.
That's right. 10 a.m. Carrot Patch Jewelers at the Pine Brook Shopping Center on Airport Boulevard. First place you can register for the Summer Better Than Others prize giveaway.
Yeah, you can walk in. You'll see the registration box has our logo and the logo for the contest on it. Fill out your name. Drop it in one per day. Okay, one per day. Don't make us come after you. One per day. You drop that in, and then hopefully you'll be the weekly winner because you win a $50 gift certificate, and you could do that with each of our participating sponsors when the box moves to their store. This week it is the Carrot Patch. This weekend it's the Carrot Patch. Early next week it's the Carrot Patch. Dropping your name in there each day. Then if you're drawn, you win that $50 gift certificate and you're in the running for the grand prize, $5,500 worth of goodies from our participating sponsors.
Yeah, and the grand prize, man, I mean, every contest we do where I'm like, there's no way we're going to up this next time. The grand prize this time, just as good or better than other grand prizes. Well, let's start with Carrot Patch since we're starting there this week. They're giving away a Reactor Valkyrie men's stainless steel watch. Now, I've seen this thing. It is good looking.
Yeah, it is.
It's a great watch. It'll look good on your wrist, on dad's wrist, pretty much anybody's wrist. This thing looks great. From Old Time Feed, they're giving away a set of Adirondack chairs and a table. That'll look good in the backyard. Goldfinger's giving away some catering. That'll be a great party. Whether
some
you save,
bird,
it,
yes.
save it for some football when you have a lot of friends and family over. Cart Doctor, a two-week, four-seat cart rental. Mike Ward's Liberty Safe's giving away one of those Liberty Fat Boy Junior safes.
Yeah, Liberty, those things are awesome.
Those are pretty. Can you pick one of those up on your own? Or are they too heavy to pick up
you
by
can't
yourself?
Even, you can't even, those Liberty Safes, you can't even pick up the little ones, man. That's why it takes like Philip and the gang out there for the delivery of those things. But that's the safe I'm moving to. I have a Liberty safe as well, but I'm thinking about moving to Fat Boy Junior because I may or may not have firearms. I probably don't have any.
Probably not.
But I might need room for some more.
And then Gray Gulf Charter's coming through with that inshore fishing charter. So that's all part of the grand prize, but every week giving away a $50 qualifying prize. And if you go to Carrot Patch and register starting this morning at 10 a.m. through next Tuesday, you could win that first qualifying prize and have your name in the hat for the big prize.
All right, so that gets cranked up today, 10 o'clock this morning at the Carrot Patch. Looking at some of the commentary here on the map, being, and this is an interactive thing. I'm putting it up. This is like, what you know, beta testing or public documents online where people go. It's like Wikipedia. You go make an edit and then save that edit and say what you did. And because I with my hen scratching here, drew a if Alabama went the way of California, this proposal and split up. How would you split it up? And you know, I have So Al and Al Al and Big Al and Bobby Al and No Al.
I love the Big Al one.
The Big Al, yeah. This Tuscaloosa is its own city-state. But Jeff says, hey, it's not So Al, it's Lo Al. Everybody calls us L.A. already. Yeah, you're right. So that could be Lo Al. Alvin says, I'd be good with Alabama and South Alabama. That would be the two. Let's see. On the text line, a lot of suggestions here. But and a couple people have asked this question. I should go back, I guess, circle around, why is California doing what they're doing? Okay, well, believe me, it's not going to go anywhere. It's a political exercise at this point. I think it won't go anywhere, although who knows in today's world. But it would have to cross so many hurdles to get there, to even get to the federal level, to have the U.S. Congress decide if they're going to let two more states into the union. But in California, they feel they don't get the Senate representation that they should with all the people they have. Obviously, it doesn't matter how many people you have, you're going to get two senators. So they're trying to split it up into Northern California, California, and Southern California. That is a proposal, and of course, they have it on the ballot. They got the signatures. It is on the ballot. But I'm saying here at home, if something similar to that happened, what would the gerrymander, what would the carve-outs look like?
Do you think this, this might be a reach here, but the entitlement culture that we live in, California feels like they're not getting their way, and they want to change the rules so that they'll have more of a chance to get their way. Do you think this plays into that at all? They feel entitled that they should have, well, obviously, they feel like they should have six senators to everybody else's two because it's such a large state.
Well, we can look at it politically, but also, let me make the argument here, just as a homer, right? If we were in a similar situation here in Alabama with this gigantic population, but only two senators, I would also realize that it's probably a fool's errand to attempt, but I would probably be on here saying, yeah, let's do this. Yeah. Let's get, you know, listen, there's a million things that it would confuse. I mean, think about from state, any kind of state programs and retirement and law enforcement, all, it'd be a nightmare for California. But the exercise of saying, hey, we have lots of people, and so we're going to split up so we can get people with these opinions more Senate positions. I mean, I get where they're coming from. It is the jingoistic play of the day, right? It's homebird time, and I get things like that. Now, because I'm not in California, I'm going to lampoon it. I'm going to be honest with you because I'm going to pick on it, but I get what they're attempting to do. But yeah, what I want to do here is just for the exercise of designing our carve-up of the state of Alabama, you know, what areas would go with what areas. Now, I am, you know, a homer in the fact that Southwest Alabama, I think even people who are honest in North and Central Alabama would admit that we don't get a fair shake down here compared to the rest of the state. So, and we have a reason to get a fair shake because we are a huge cash contributor, right, to the state coffers with state sales tax, with you know, all the tourism money coming from Mobile and Baldwin counties, but we don't get the same shake. So, you know, if we carved it out, or like John or others have talked about, you know, the old idea of the Gulf State, or he said, Gulf of Fornia, that you would have the Florida Panhandle, Alabama being Mobile and Baldwin County, and also the Mississippi coast, what that would mean. And actually, drawing the line at 84, it would be a very wealthy state. I think it would.
And I think he mentioned that if we were to do that, that Pensacola would be the capital of the Gulf State.
Yeah,
I'd have to argue. Okay. I think if we do make a Gulf State, including all those parts you just mentioned, Floribama, the bar, it has to be the capital, right? That has to be where bills are signed, where they meet.
Brilliant.
Where the Congress meets. It has to be at the Floribama.
In the new Gulf State, and the seat of government, the capital, is the Floribama. And we figured the flags flying over the Floribama, and you go, beautiful. Let's go. All the reporters doing their stand-ups outside. Now, we're here live at the Capitol as they're debating, you know, and you see a mullet go flying by, or some representative walking by with a bushwhacker or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. All right. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106. And David in Mobile, first up. David?
Sean, I think you're missing a perfect marketing opportunity. If we do decide to do this Gulf State with the Florida Panhandle in South Alabama and South Mississippi, we need to pay homage to our history and call it the State of West Florida and have the capital in Pensacola, like the colonial capital of West Florida was.
Why not Floribama? Why not that? I mean, I think Dalton made a very good point. The Floribama would be the most fun ever for a capital, but go ahead.
Well, they can have legislative field trips to the Floribama. But our state motto could be the 14th colony, because at the time that the colonies, British colonies, fought the American Revolution, we were a British colony that chose not to participate. So we were called the 14th colony at the time. Uh-huh. We could pay homage to our history if we did that.
All right. There we go, David. Appreciate it.
Kind of a boring motto.
Yeah. I'm more like the idea of partying at the Floribama.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, would y'all want to be part of a state that had its capital at the Floribama? And yeah. By the way, this text from our buddy Rob said, then we should break out every area with a population equal to that of the least populous state. If we were to do that and create new states, so we would have 4,380 senators. So you do break out.
That would just the Senate meeting. That would be fantastic.
And not to nerd out much, but we have this morning. I mean, we have kind of lost sight of the purpose of senators, right? The senators were your ambassadors to Washington from the states. They were your delegation. They used to not be elected either. They were appointed. So that's California's plan. What about us? How do we carve up the state of Alabama? How many pieces? 1, 2, 3, 4, 16. What you got? All right, 8:51 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. By the way, 10-year anniversary for our buddy Trey Bennett at 1-800-GOT-JUNK here in Mobile and Baldwin counties, doing a magic trick for those 10 years, making junk disappear, whether that is at your office. Maybe you've gone all, just an idea here, maybe you've gone all digital at your office, but you still have the room of metal filing cabinets.
Oh, the toe stubbers.
Yes, those that are in, like, right. Those gigantic things that are now just taking up space in your office, get rid of those. Maybe you have a storage unit you haven't seen the inside of in years. You could actually be a contestant on one of those shows where you bid on it because you really don't know what you got in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to get rid of that. Quit paying the monthly to store that stuff. It's junk. You don't need it. Or at your house, you got junk in the attic. You got junk in a storage unit in the back of the house. Heck, maybe you want to get rid of the whole storage unit. Maybe you've got a playhouse. Maybe you got a swing set and your youngest child is married and has children of their own now. Maybe it's time to get rid of that junk as well. You can make that happen pretty darn quickly when you set an appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Easy to do. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That'll put you in touch with Trey Bennett and the local crew, or the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They're going to give you a specific appointment time. That's when they show up and they make the junk disappear. Check them out today. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, still people doing their reworks here on the map I have put up, proposing splitting up Alabama into different zones. The Mobile Mask, of course, putting out the magazine Mobile Mask. He said, I forgot Mardi Gras, Alabama.
Mm.
Well, that, I would say Mardi Gras, Alabama, Mobile Mask. I would say that would be a county. Okay. Within that would be Mardi Gras County would be within the state of Lowell or Soal or Gulf Al, mm-hmm. however we decide to name this state down here. So I would, because in the entirety, I wouldn't say it's all like Mardi Gras Al for the state, but I would say definitely Mardi Gras County within the state of Southwest Alabama or whatever we call it.
Yeah, and there's a couple counties that you included in Al Al,
mm-hmm.
Which Al, a great name. I was thinking maybe Tote Al.
Tote Al, there you go.
The rest of Alabama.
That's pretty good.
But I was thinking, for instance, Walker County, that's the home of Parrish.
Yes,
Alabama.
Where they had the, months ago, had the train with New York the, sewage.
The
stuff.
Very stinky train. So I was thinking, and everybody can connect the dots there, maybe what that should be called, that part of Alabama. But also I was thinking Talladega, it needs to maybe have its own, maybe even just the racetrack in Talladega, just
okay.
The super speedway itself could be a part of Alabama. And I was thinking maybe NASCAR Al or...
So, okay, so you're taking, that wouldn't be... It would be like we've drawn some states here, but we do have some city states like Lobby Al in Montgomery. Mm-hmm. So it could be Race Al or NASCAR Al.
Yeah.
For Talladega. So it would be it would obviously be like tribal lands. It'd be an independent city yeah. state within, at that case, Al mm-hmm. Al. Like I drew the line around Tuscaloosa, naming that state Big Al.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I see what you did there. That was great. And you'd have to probably push that. I mean, Big Al is one for Tuscaloosa. I'm sure some would want to call it the United States of Saban. Maybe.
See, that's a problem. See, that's bringing things together versus splitting them apart. We're balkanizing now. We're not.
You're right.
It's not a confederation.
Just
it's a balkanization.
Just brainstorming here.
Okay. So we'll take your drawings if you want to do your rework on my very poorly drawn state map. It's on our Facebook page, on the Twitter feed as well, at FM Talk 106.5. Also, a story that Dalton, you mentioned this morning during one of the news breaks. I had seen this overnight. We didn't get into this with Jeff Poor for some reason as we were talking about elections that had happened this week in other states. But the Las Vegas Sun reports pimp Dennis Hoff,
oh, no.
The owner of a half a dozen legal brothels in Nevada and star of the HBO adult reality series Cat House, won the Republican primary for state legislature on Tuesday, ousting a three-term lawmaker. So in that case, the incumbent did not win.
He has a lot of similarities. Well, okay. He has a couple similarities with President Donald Trump.
Go ahead. I was waiting for that. Yes.
Much like President Trump, of course, his best-selling book, The Art of the Deal.
Right.
Dennis Hoff has also written a book.
Art about the deal?
The Art of the Pimp, he called it.
Okay. So and very close in title.
He's
okay.
even given himself a nickname. He calls himself the Trump of Pahrump. The Trump of Pahrump.
Pahrump, Nevada.
I guess so.
Yeah,
I don't,
yeah.
But that's what Dennis Hoff calls himself. He said, it's all because Donald Trump was the Christopher Columbus for me. He found the way, and I jumped on it.
no comment, Sullivan. So he wins, and now I've heard there's a move somehow to get him DQ'd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to be their the people have spoken, and they at least in this primary— they want Dennis off. But now, I guess, Republicans from Nevada, maybe it's the Nevada Republican Party or something overall, are upset with this, and they're moving to try to I don't know how they do it. I mean, if the people voted, but maybe they can say I don't know.
And maybe that has to do with, and I'm just learning about this, reading about Dennis Hoff, but there's actually a push out there in Nevada to close down some of those legal brothels. Mm-hmm. That are, it says that voters in November, this coming November during the general, they'll vote on closing down brothels in at least one of the seven Nevada counties where they're legally operating. And that will be on the ballot in one of the counties, Lyon County, and Hoff actually owns four brothels there. He says it's political is the reason they're closing down these brothels, that I guess his opponent there in the general election is one of those leading this charge.
So often these things will come down to business issues and interest, but it is of interest to me. If you look at this, here's a man, he's been a libertarian in the past, running as a Republican, wins there, which, you know, he won with the people in that area in the primary. If we go down the road and we start looking at, let's say somebody's in the pot business, mm-hmm. in a state. We talked about this a bunch yesterday. They're the pot business in Colorado, Washington State, somewhere it's legal. It's a legal business for the state. And we have this move from the feds. They decriminalize it. So that person is now in a legitimate business. They're a business person.
Right.
They run a pot thing, whatever. They grow it. They sell it, the package. I don't know. Whatever they do. Because that's completely legal business. I think you'll see a lot of people that are conservatives, you know, that will be in that business. Just the nature of, hey, here's the new frontier of business. People that are aggressive there move into it.
Capitalism.
So will there be an issue going forward? Well, they say, well, that person's from the pot business. But at that point, if that's legal in that state, like the brothels are there in the certain counties in Nevada,
yeah,
then what gives?
Trump owned a casino. And he's our president now. So maybe there's some kind of corollary between those.
What he said. All right. We'll do it all again at noon today for Midday Mobile. Laura Ingram on the way next.